Welcome to the Nativist Podcast, where we tap into our instinct and natural power to live intuitively. The ultimate goal is to leave the world healthier and more beautiful than we found it. It all starts on the individual level by cultivating our mind-body connection. Whether you're on a healing journey or just want to look and feel your best, I hope by the end you feel a little happier, a little more inspired, and a little more invested in yourself and the world. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. Thank you. Good news! I got the audio to work. The bad news is I already had this episode all recorded, so I've had to re-record it. But whatever, that just means it'll be even better this time around, right? I hope so. Fingers crossed. Last one, it was so good. It was so good. I even literally broke down. I got emotional. Not that that's necessarily what makes or breaks an episode, but gosh, I was really feeling it. I was really in it. We'll see if I have the same reaction this time. Happy you're here. Happy I got this audio thing figured out. There's a lot of snap, crackle, popping happening. And I figured out, just in case you ever start your own podcast, just randomly, there was interference with my hard drive because I separated. Anyways, I did some troubleshooting, figured it out. It's so weird how just randomly this issue arose out of nowhere when my previous configuration posed no problems before. But here we are. All that matters is that you're here now. I'm here now. We're going to talk feminism today because guess what this month is? It's National Women's History Month. This is something that is really important to me. I am on, as I've said before, my work's Diversity and Inclusion Council. And so as part of that, I am in charge for this month's company-wide event for this. And so I am having a panel discussion and I invited some of the best, sharpest women I know and thrilled, so pumped for it. It's at the end of the month. And I have, oh gosh, it's a kick-ass lineup and I'm pumped. And actually, I do want to say I have like an agent on there. I have my friend Marin. She's been on the pod before. She is a co-creator of Upbeat Bar, which is so good. You have to try it. And Upbeat Lift now. And they have Upbeat Pilates. They are just exploding. And then I have another friend. She is my neighbor and she is a legend. She is a trailblazer in this town of mine. She is a real estate developer and the story she has, because she lives and works in a man's world. And she was saying, I don't know, I think she's in her 70s. And she was saying back when she was younger, she wanted to go to architectural school and she couldn't because they didn't allow women. And so she chose to go into real estate. And so she's a real estate developer. And wow, is that lady on top of her game? She's remarkable. And then guess who else I invited? My friend Amanda Henry. And she is a stay-at-home mom. And I thought that was so important to include her because that's what we're going to talk about today, is how feminism sometimes is misconstrued and misunderstood. And it's not that all women need to be in the workplace and that's progress. Guess what feminism is? Spoiler alert, it's you getting to decide what it looks like for you. It's you just having the choice. That's so important. Bottom line up front, bluff. It's you getting to choose. So if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, if that's what it is for you, high five. Awesome. Then that's fantastic. And that's how it should be. And if somebody wants to have a job outside the home, be a mother and work in the corporate world or just have a regular 9-to-5, whatever her choice of work is, great. Good for her. Good for you. If somebody doesn't want to have kids at all, great. Good for you. It's just that opportunity to choose. That's what it's about. And I think it's also important before we get started. Definitions are so important to me. Words are so important to me. And so we're going to start with the definition. And it's funny because, and I think I might have mentioned it on here before, but I am obsessed with looking up word definitions, words that I know, words that I use all the time, or words that I'm well familiar with, just still checking my knowledge because sometimes it gets a little clouded. Their usage and their actual definition sometimes get muddied. And so I always like to check the definition of a word to see if I'm in line with the actual definition. And it's so funny because this is kind of a tangent, but I swear I'll bring it back. So a while ago, I saw that you are able to see what your computer has gleaned about your education, your background. They kind of create this profile about you based on your browser history. And so it was interesting to see what mine was. And I think it really took me down a few notches because I was looking up very basic words. But just to ensure that I'm being impeccable with my word, like The Alchemist says to do. I wanted to make sure that every time I use a word, just to solidify my understanding, again, even if it's a word I feel comfortable with, just to make sure, just out of curiosity, is this matching the definition? And I think there has been a time or two where there have been words that meant the actual definition meant something different than how I had been using it or how other people use it. So it's very interesting. I encourage you, start looking up words. Very cool. Anyways, back to feminism and clarifying it and explaining what it actually is, because I think there's a misunderstanding about what it is. And I think feminists get a bad rap, and I think they're misunderstood. And I know this because talking to friends who are low-key raging feminists, just in how they live their life and the messages they indirectly convey, like I'll hear them, they'll say it outright, you know, like I'm not a feminist, and they kind of say it like it's a dirty word. And I mean, they mean no shade, but you can tell they're just operating under a different understanding, you know, like I'm not one of those bra burners, or I'm not one of those crazies. And then they'll proceed to say something very feminist. And so, and I also know a while ago, a few years ago, I had cultivated and I put so much thought into it, because you have to be careful about a lot of the topics I talk about. They can be very off-putting and people can check out if they're phrased a certain way, especially some of these inflammatory topics. So I put so much thought into how I curate them and phrase them, not to manipulate, but actually the opposite, to clarify, to open up minds, not advancing an agenda or advancing a message, just to get people to engage, to talk about it, to interact and think about things, but not, you know, a lot of these divisive topics, if you phrase it a certain way or frame it a certain way, people will shut down, or they'll just default to their opinion and they won't open up or think differently or question their beliefs or anything like that. So I did a series of questions, like yes or no answers, like true or false, blah, blah, blah. And then they would answer true or false, and then I'd have the answer. And I was going to revive that and do that again. And I probably will after I post this episode on my Instagram. And if you're listening to this a little too late and you want to know, you're curious about that poll or that series of questions, reach out to me at @the_nativist on Instagram, and you can find me on Facebook too. So here we go. We're going to start with a definition. And as we know, there are a lot of different definitions floating around about pretty much any word. So we're just going with this definition. So number one, it's like a three-parter, I think. So one, belief in or advocacy of women's social, political, and economic rights, especially with regard to equality of the sexes. And so notice, this is witty, notice how it's saying their rights, not necessarily preferences or prescribed lifestyles or thoughts or anything, just what they should be allowed to do, just the opportunity, the chance, what they should be allowed to do, what should be open to them. Okay, next, the movement organized around this belief. And then finally, a social theory or political movement arguing that legal and social restrictions on females must be removed in order to bring about equality of both sexes in all aspects of public and private life. And there's another thought I'm going to mention later on in the episode, but I love that, where it's basically outlining it so well, where it's essentially just removing barriers. That's what we're doing. And that's what it comes down to with a lot of the advocacy movements, is just removing barriers. It's not pushing a certain way of living or bullying people into thinking a certain way or shoving this all in somebody's face or saying this is how it needs to be and this is how you need to act and this is what needs to happen. It's just removing barriers for people. That sounds pretty fair and neutral, doesn't it? Just removing barriers so people can aspire to what they want to do. So if they want to go to school, they can go to school. They have the barriers removed preventing them from that. If they have, and I mean, I know that that's kind of surface level. They can be a little more nuanced than that. But really, essentially, just removing barriers. Just removing barriers from women when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to work. Oh, and I do want to preface this episode. I don't want to get political in this episode. And I always try to avoid politicization. I'm not trying to push the right or the left. I actually consider myself a solid centrist. We need balance, and balance comes from both sides, having both sides. Both sides have value. All perspectives have value. And I think when we lean too far one way or the other, and this is nothing against you, and especially I don't know what your political beliefs are, but suffice to say, let's just say I think the key to life is balance. Balance, balance, balance. And there's value in what anybody says. And there's a reason. And it comes down to Maslow's hierarchy of needs and just humans in general. We essentially want the same thing. We just have very different ideas of how to achieve it. So we want health and safety and prosperity. I mean, those are typically pretty safe assumptions, right? And I know that you can get some psychological cloudiness in there where, you know, if you have fear of success because you don't feel you deserve it, or you have worthiness issues. And so fears can really muck it up. But essentially, that's what it comes down to. We want freedom and opportunity and chance and safety and to be loved and to love and to all of that, right? We just have very different ideas. It starts to become more and more complicated as you manifest that in certain ways. And we have very different ideas of what safetiness looks like, what freedom looks like. And that's when it really starts to get a little complicated. But essentially, we want the same things. Okay, so back to feminism. We're going to go through a brief history of feminist waves, because there have been a few different waves. So, brief history of feminist waves. The issue of rights for women first became prominent during the French and American revolutions in the late 18th century. In Britain, it was not until the emergence of the suffragette movement in the late 19th century that there was significant political change. A second wave of feminism arose in the 1960s with an emphasis on unity and sisterhood. Seminal figures included Betty Friedan and Germaine Greer. A third wave was identified in the late 1980s and 1990s as a reaction against the perceived lack of focus on class and race issues in earlier movement. So, there's been a history there. We're still pushing for it. And as with a lot of stuff, it's easy to think, oh, when we got the right to vote, we're good. Check that box. Not so fast, not necessarily. There's still some work to do. And I see that in interactions. I see that in just throwaway comments that people say. And I find myself having to really monitor myself for comments and certain things. So one thing, when you think about a doctor, you talk about a doctor, start paying attention to the pronouns people use. And this isn't about, we're not going to get into the pronoun usage because I know that's a hot topic, but just pay attention to people's assumptions if you're talking about a male or a female. And I know this is binary, but let's just keep it uncomplicated. So pay attention. People typically assume it's a male. And when you talk about a nurse, people typically assume it's a female. And we don't need to get all... That sounded a little aggressive. We don't need to get offended or make this angry or contentious. But just, I encourage you to just open up about it and start to expand your horizons and your thinking. And it's okay to have... stereotypes. Stereotypes serve a purpose. They do. They have value. They're a heuristic. It's a psychological term. We need them. And I know I've talked about this before, but I'll just do a brief review. We need stereotypes and those cognitive shortcuts because we have so much information blasting us all the time. And so to even make sense of all the stimuli coming at us, we have to have those shortcuts where we don't have to expand and think about all the different options and blah, blah, blah. That's usually how it is. That's pretty typical or general. That's where our mind is going to go. And that's the assumption we're going to make. And so that's one of them. And so on things that don't really matter, it doesn't mean that just because we have stereotypes and biases and stuff, and we all have biases, doesn't mean we shouldn't still be aware of them and still clock them and control them and or try to be aware of them so they don't control us. They should serve us. We shouldn't serve them. So just try to check yourself on your stereotypes every so often and just be open-minded and don't be so rigid in them and just stay open-minded, open-hearted and open-minded. That's kind of my catchphrase with the nativist, opening hearts, minds, and eyes, just staying open. So if you find yourself thinking a certain way about women or thinking that they can do this or they can't do that, or just if you find yourself with certain assumptions about women, just try checking them and try questioning them and opening yourself up to them. But going back to my point, just because women have the right to vote doesn't mean they're home free. There's still quite a bit holding us back. And again, I see that in the throwaway comments. I see that all the time. Luckily, shockingly, especially in my organization that I work in, is very male-dominated. We've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. But especially in my line of work, it is known for sexism. And shockingly, I haven't really personally experienced it. I know others have. I know a lot of others who have. But I've been very fortunate that I really haven't had that. I felt valued, I felt seen, I felt heard. I mean, and again, it just goes to show we're humans. We don't need to make this about, we don't need to blanket label all men is good, all women is good, all men is bad, all women is bad. We don't need to, it's just humans are humans and it's a case by case basis. It's a person by person basis. And that's another takeaway from this that might contradict any of your previous assumptions or understandings about feminism. It's not saying men are bad, and I'll get to that in a sec, but it's just humans are humans, and humans are on a spectrum, and you have some men with more feminine energy than male energy, or, I mean, we're on a spectrum. I have, one could say, like, certain male characteristics or whatever. It's just allowing people to be on a spectrum and understanding labels can be helpful, but again, not having those labels control you and completely control your way of thinking. They should be helpful, little shortcuts, but then let's not get boxed in by those boxes, if that makes sense. So it's just understanding that labels are there to help us to sort through information, but they can definitely be changed and swapped and all of that, and they should be too, as we gather in more information and our understanding shifts. So we just need to stay flexible with our understandings of stuff and understandings of this whole issue, and just being aware of, I also do want to note that I know it can be very, no matter what the issue is, it can be very easy to get a chip on your shoulder and to see things through a certain lens. And I'll own, I experience the world through a woman's lens. And so some of the experiences I've had, I see it through that. And I try not to let that completely control my perception. And I try to check that too. But a lot of the experiences I've had, especially in my community, I see a lot of repression of women, misunderstanding of women, devaluing of women, a lot of underestimation of women. I remember I got my job, this is just an example, and I got my job, and it's a really good job, and I was young when I got it. I was like 20 when I got it. And especially in this community, I remember my mom had mentioned it to one of my high school friends. And he's like, oh, is she a secretary? That wasn't great. Just that immediate assumption. And also it kind of, I don't want to get too much into that, but just suffice to say, let's just think about our assumptions and think about where our minds go and question why they go there and question why we think that someone is of a certain status or can't have a certain lifestyle. If that makes sense, I know I phrased that kind of confusingly, but just why are we assuming certain things about certain people? And just be careful about that. And this goes both ways too, assuming things about women, assuming things about men, assuming things about any label that you could come up with, and just check yourself. Notice yourself doing that and checking yourself and thinking, why do I think that? And we all have biases. Again, it's not, do we have them? We do. It's just being aware of them and trying to override them as necessary. So we're going to talk about some myths that are really common with feminism and that you see a lot. Probably the biggest myth about feminists is thinking they prioritize women above men and they think women are better than men. And it's important to note there are different flavors of feminism. So we're just talking about like feminism in general, because you have your radicals as you have in any ideology or movement or whatever. And so we're not talking about them. We're talking about like the centrists and the majority. So there might be a lot of people who call themselves feminists and claim that women are superior to men, but that isn't true feminism in the sense of what most people who are feminists subscribe to. So true feminists endorse human rights for all gender identities on the basis that everyone deserves to be treated equally. And social justice movements are not based on putting one group of people above others. It's based on breaking down the systems that do. And again, I know equity and equality are two different things. And it's not saying that, well, if men get to do that, then women get to do that. It's acknowledging, again, there are differences and there are nuances, and it's a human, individual basis case kind of thing. And I know there are certain professions where I know a lot of the pushback comes from saying like, oh, well, women don't have the physiology and the anatomy to do certain jobs or do it as well as men. And A, this is where you get back to the spectrum idea, where you have women who could kick a lot of men's asses and they're stronger than them. It depends on their fitness, their nutrition, their genetics. There are a lot of factors and variables at play. But overall, yes, men are typically stronger than women. And so that's a fact we have to acknowledge, right? It's reality. We should be pragmatic about things and situations. And so it's acknowledging that, but also leaving space for the women who qualify, and that's where qualifications and certifications and all of that are important too. So let's say that you have two people who are vying for a firefighter's job. It's the person who can meet the standard and the qualifications, right? Not that there should necessarily be lower standards just so there's representation and a woman should be involved or on the force or on the squad. The person who can do the job should get the job, right? The best person for the job. It's just removing the barriers to being able to apply to get that job. And so if a woman can perform the duties and activities to the standard, she should be able to get the job. It's the best person for the job. And it's just allowing that opportunity, that chance. And again, it's not saying women are better than men. I don't think women should run the world. And because I think, again, it comes back to balance. We need men too. They're very valuable. I love men. I know I have awesome men in my life, and I know some wonderful men. And for example, my dad is a huge feminist in the sense he's not like marching in the streets for it, but he just has always empowered us, and we always felt empowered and valued and supported and celebrated. And he and I talk a lot about this, and he acknowledges, and he even said just growing up, he always felt bad for women because he felt they didn't get the true justice they deserved, and they got a bad rap in a lot of ways because they were held back in a lot of ways and they weren't valued and acknowledged like they should have been. And so I've had, like I said, I've seen and worked with, and I know a lot of great men. And so this isn't to say that all men are bad. And I know a lot, there are some feminists, like I said, there are some radicals who would say that, but not most of them. And we need everybody in this world. We need diversity. And some would say that women should run the world. I think women are just as corruptible. They are just as prone to corruption and to vices as men are. And again, we just need, we need representation, and we need balance. Just balance, right? Balance. Okay, and let's get into some of the actual myths that we see. Okay, and I kind of busted this myth earlier, but the first one we'll tackle is feminism is the same across the board and all feminists are the same. They're not. There are so many different kinds of feminism. There's liberal feminism, socialist feminism, radical feminism, intersectional feminism, where you have all the different parts coming together. So many different perspectives, so many different priorities. There are so many different kinds of feminists, just like there are so many different kinds of humans. Okay, the next one is huge. I probably should have led with this one. It's so big. So, myth number three, feminists detest traditional roles. Feminists oppose traditional roles. It's not true. Feminists do not hate traditional roles. Feminism isn't about denigrating traditional roles, but rather about giving individuals the freedom to choose the roles that suit them best. Feminists advocate for the option to pursue any career or lifestyle without being limited by gender stereotypes. It's just having more of an even playing field, or just removing those barriers. And again, if it makes you happy to be a homemaker, that's what you should get to do. If it makes you happy to have a corporate job, that's what you should get to do. Right? It's, you just shouldn't be held back. And especially this is where it gets tricky, is we have, many of us have very specific ideas of how we should live our lives and what an ideal society looks like and how people need to act and live to achieve that ideal society. And so I know it can be very hard to allow people the freedom and the space to choose, because especially if you care so much, like especially about kids, you're like, yes, but this is what I think will provide for kids the best and nurture them the best. And I think that all women and mothers should stay at home and nurture their kids. That is their highest calling. That is what they should do. And all women should have babies. And it's just realizing that there are so many different kinds of people in this world. And just as you want the freedom to live your life that way, the freedom to, what if somebody came to you and was like, I know you're a mom, I know you love your kids, but you can't stay home and take care of them. You have to have a job. That'd be very upsetting, right? You would want the freedom to stay at home. And so it's the same. And it's just understanding that people love in different ways and succeed in different ways. And they have different ideas and definitions of success and fulfillment and different ideas of how to best provide for themselves and their family. Because some women would say, I'm a better mother because I have a job outside of the home that fulfills me, that allows me to restore and recharge and have my identity so I can show up better for my kids, my partner, when I'm at home. And that's important to just understand. We are complex, different beings with different ingredients and different needs and different points of fulfillment. And it's just unrealistic to have one prescription across the board for everybody. It's just not going to work. Just like one person's nutrition plan isn't going to work for another. One person's fitness plan isn't going to work for another. So just understanding that there are different ways of living life and we should be free to live those ways of life as long as it's not hurting another. And I know that's another sticking point. But anyways, another myth I already busted. I really went out of order with this, but feminism is no longer necessary. It is still. And pay attention. Start to pay attention to just, again, little throwaway comments. And I get that. I'm a person who is unmarried, doesn't have kids, and certain things people will say to me, or I remember a while ago when I lived on my own, I was young, and I own my own house, and I had a technician come to fix something, and he came and said that he would talk to my husband about the bill. So I just smiled and said, I own this house and it's just me here, so let's have that conversation. So just a little assumptions. He meant no harm by it. He wasn't trying to offend. It's just, he was a product of his environment and that's just what he assumed. So it's not like I needed to really like burn the house down and shout at him and tell him what's what. It was just, I don't even know if I said anything to him. Just like, I live my life and let that be my message. And so just what I'm saying is pay attention to just little things that people say and pay attention to how women are represented in the media. And we see that. We see that with certain entertainers not getting paid the same amount as their male co-stars. We see that with women getting prosecuted and getting castigated and criticized for certain things that men get away with. And just pay attention. Again, this doesn't need to turn into anything inflammatory, but just pay attention. And if you're a woman, you likely know, you likely see. And it's funny because, and I'm not making this political, this has nothing to do with the political party, but I remember 4 years ago in the election, 4 years ago, the presidential election, and it was the vice presidential debate. And I think Vice President Kamala Harris had said, let me speak, when Mike Pence kept interrupting her. And again, this, I'm not making this a liberal versus Republican thing. Let's just step aside from that. What I'm saying is, when she had said, let me speak, I remember reading after that that like women everywhere understood that and they felt that and that resonated with them, because so often we are talked over or dismissed or cast aside and interrupted. It's not okay. You deserve to be heard. You deserve to be seen. No matter who you are, you do. And so stand up for yourself. When it comes down to, speak up for yourself. Let yourself be heard. And I've started to do that too. When people interrupt me, if I'm talking to, and there's a respectful way to do it. It's not like I need to get all combative about it, but I try to be respectful. But if somebody starts speaking over to me, like if it's a technician or somebody that I'm talking to, then I'll just be like, will you please let me speak? And that sounded, I know, you just, there's a respectful way to do it. And I try to be as kind about it as possible. You don't necessarily have to be sweet, because I know that's a trope a lot of women fall into. And we feel the need to be polite and sweet all the time. And that's not necessary. Just treat people with respect. And that includes respecting yourself. And you don't need to be sweet, but I think you do need to be kind. And we need to try to be kind to each other. And that's a distinction. It's very important. But anyways, going back to more myths. Okay, another myth. Feminists hate makeup, fashion, and femininity. Not true. Feminism encourages self-expression and choice in wearing makeup and dressing the way you want to dress, in the trend you want to dress in, or whatever fashion you want to express. That is up to you. And embracing your femininity is your personal choice. And feminism supports people in making decisions based on their preferences and not on societal expectations. And it always goes back to choice. And I think of this, and I remember being presented with the dress code at work, and this was years ago, and it was an outdated policy, but still is what was given to us at the time. And it required women to wear makeup every day. And I was outraged at that. I was like, absolutely not. I wore makeup every day, but that's because it was my choice. I detested being told that I had to, that it was required of me. It felt so sexist. And I think of that, and I think a lot of females would tell you they feel they are treated differently when they're not completely made up, and if they're not completely put together, if they don't have makeup, or if they look a certain way. We're often treated differently out in the world. People often treat us differently. And that comes back to a lot of value is put, and men experience this too in different ways. Like if you're a tatted up bearded guy, I'm sure you could say that you felt you've been treated differently than somebody else who has no tattoos and is clean shaven. But it's hard to argue against the point that women are valued for their looks. And we see that, and we see that why women aren't celebrated for aging, and women have the label of hag when they get older, and men have the label of silver fox. And I know that can come back to evolution, where we're wired to think older men are established and can provide for us, and so we find that attractive, and women are less fertile as they age, and so we're wired to find that less attractive. That can be argued, and that can play into it, absolutely. But also, let's redefine beauty for ourselves. A lot of women dye their hair in their 30s and even younger because they've started to go gray, or they have gray hairs. So what if we had a factory reset and we were conditioned to find that beautiful? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and it's in the eye of your societal conditioning. So think about that. Question your ideas of what's attractive. And this isn't to bully you into thinking differently, into finding certain ways of being attractive. No, it's just to open your eyes and think about the world a little differently, and be careful about what we say and how we speak to each other and to ourselves, and what we base our self-worth on. Our looks are the least interesting thing about us. They're fleeting. And so let's be careful about what we value people for. And I read Britney Spears' memoir, and she had said a lot about how she felt very let down and disappointed and hurt by how she was treated in the media versus how Justin Timberlake was viewed in the media back when they had the relationship and broke up. And she was ostracized and criticized for being the destroyer of the relationship, or the unfaithful one, or male stars could get away with things that she couldn't get away with. And we see that all the time. And so it's just being aware of that and being aware of what we think about certain members of our society and certain labels we attach to people and double standards we have and hypocrisies we see and engage in even ourselves. And just again, being aware and if it feels right to you, making a change. I really want to open up this world to people so they can start to think differently about feminism. And going back to the feminist issue of wearing makeup, you don't need to justify your reasons for wanting to look the way you do. You get to choose. It's your self-expression. And I'm seriously largely embracing an ugly phase where I don't prioritize what I look like. And even in the past, I would put so much thought and effort and care into what I look like, even when nobody was around, just because I felt it was so important because I live in the society and I knew it's important. But lately I've just been like, I will choose comfort. I will choose what feels good to me. And I still love to get dressed up and I still love to self-express. I'm a stylist. People hire me for this. I love it. It's so fun to me. And it's a big part of my creativity and artistry and self-expression. But I just hate feeling compelled to do it, like I have to do it, like I'm expected to do it, that expectation. And feeling like my worth diminishes if I don't dress up. I don't like that. I'm not into it. I don't accept that. Do not subscribe to it. Okay, the last myth we're going to talk about is all feminists are angry. Actually, we have one more. So all feminists are angry and radical. That's not true. Just like there are different kinds of any other group. It's not true. Are there angry feminists and radical feminists? Absolutely, but not all of them are. And the last myth, that feminists are so easily offended. And it's just like saying men are always offensive and unemotional. You have some men who are and some men who aren't. Some women who are and some women who aren't. And again, it can be easy no matter what your nerve is or your injury is or your wound is, you know, that your activator. I could see trigger, but I've been using activator instead of trigger. No matter what that is, it's easy for that to be a chip on your shoulder where you view everybody is trying to piss you off or insult you or offend you. Sure, that's easy to slide into that, but I try not to. And so I just try to keep a perspective about things, recognize something if it is what it is, but also not getting torn up about it and speaking up when I feel it's right and just letting my lifestyle be my message in other ways. Just leading by example is, I guess, a better way to say that. And just treating others with respect and advocating for myself and others as I see fit. And that's how I choose to live my life. And I do want to share the inspired Barbie monologue that was in the Barbie movie that America Ferrera's character delivered. And I'd heard a version of this before the movie. It's beautiful. It's poignant. It's profound. It's accurate. It's resonant. It's all the adjectives. It's perfect. It's insightful. And likely as a woman, you feel it. Not all women will. Again, there are so many of us, all different kinds of us, all different kinds of humans. But I remember I saw Barbie in the movie theater, but then I remember the last time I watched it, I was sitting on the couch with my sister and my niece, and it was such a powerful moment, us just sitting there. And I know my sister felt the same. We just wanted to just infuse my niece with a sense of love and belonging and worth. We just wanted her to skip ahead of all of the bullshit that society will throw at her, is throwing at her. We just wanted her to have such a solid foundation to know, to just feel she is worthy no matter what society is telling her, no matter what impossible standards that are demanding she meet. Okay, so here it is, the Barbie monologue. It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we always have to be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane. But if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood. But always stand out and always be grateful, but never forget that the system is rigged. So find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory, and nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us. And if all of that is also true for a doll just representing women, then I don't even know. And that's the point where I completely broke down in tears when I read that on the episode I had to destroy, or not destroy, that was a little dramatic, but the one that had the snap crackle popping on it, because it just really hit me. It's impossible what we're expected to be and to do and to look like. And contortion is a perfect description of that. We're constantly told what we're doing is not enough, and it's not even... Sometimes we are directly told that, but it's just in the messages we receive. And these visions and these posters and advertising is just too much. It's too much. And it breaks my heart to think of our youth having to go through that. And I just want to wrap my arms around myself as a little girl and tell her, you're enough. Because I just... see my own journey and with my skin and with my eating disorder and never feeling enough. And I had great parents who never directly fed into that. They did in their own way, just because, again, they're products of their environment. We all are. And an eating disorder is so much more than just what you look like. There are a lot of other factors in the mix and contributors, but I don't want people to feel not enough. And so after I had seen the Barbie movie, I had also written a post on it, and so I want to read that here. Okay, so here was my takeaway from the Barbie movie. I thought it presented a message I've long been championing. Let there be diversity. Let there be complexity. Let there be balance. I don't think just women should run the world. I don't think just men should run the world. What about just viewing it as empowering people to choose what's right for them? If you want that option, shouldn't other people get that too? No one fitness regimen fits all. No one nutrition plan fits all. No one treatment approach or financial strategy or career guide fits us all. So why would one lifestyle fit all? Not every woman wants to join the external workforce. Not every woman wants to stay at home. Not every man is sexist. Not every man loves hunting. We need people to have different roles and interests to complement and balance each other, to fulfill different purposes and roles, to enrich our lives. Let people be different. Let people be flawed, complicated, contradictory. Let them be. Okay, and then this was my follow-up post to that. So I said, have you ever changed your mind, been uncertain, misjudged, rejected someone telling you what to do, felt shame, felt fear? Erred? Felt different from those around you? I am willing to bet the majority of us could say yes to the majority of these questions. Yes? This goes along with my last post, like I said, with the Barbie movie. And if you've changed your mind or been uncertain or any of the other experiences I just described, would it make sense for you to think you have life all figured out and should decide what's right and wrong for others? Yes, I know faith and religion can add some complexity to this. One could even say, even though their life is imperfect, their faith isn't. They could say they don't personally have all the answers, but their belief system, like their religion, does. And they trust it even though if they don't fully understand it yet. They believe it's universal application. I get that. I respect that. After all, I have my own beliefs. And that's my point. Again, and this might be uncomfortable for me to say and you to hear, you and I, we are still humans. Humans who vary in all of our rich complexity. Humans who err and misperceive and misjudge in all of our gorgeous complexity. Humans who change in all of our stunning complexity. If I want to live my life as I see fit, and if I want the space and freedom to choose what's right for me, doesn't it seem fair others should have the same freedom, not just in the law, but in my mind? If I've been wrong about the past, about anything, and or if I've changed, shouldn't I leave some room for that possibility again? At least enough to keep an open mind, enough to recognize the differences around me? And here's the kicker, the rights of those differences to exist? Again, I know faith can add some complexity to all of this. But just understanding, this is me again, not the post. Just understanding we are evolving and changing. I switched those up. We are evolving and changing. And we have something wrong now that we think we have right. And if we're constantly changing, shouldn't we allow others the space to do so too and understand that we can't even make ourselves do all the things we know we should do? So how dare we try to change others? And if we're always, not always wrong, but if we're constantly evolving and changing and discovering things we were wrong about, doesn't that stand to reason everybody else is too? So if they are, and if we think they're wrong, there has to be something we're wrong about too. It's just understanding that humans are humans and letting humans human, you know? Just not thinking that we need to tell others how to live. So I hope this made sense. I hope that shed some light and illuminated feminism a little bit more. And I hope it isn't a dirty word anymore. Not that you necessarily have to declare yourself a feminist. That wasn't the point of this. It's just to correct some misunderstandings to help you, if you didn't already, if you don't already, think about it in a different way, in a different light. And just understanding humans want the chance to choose and the freedom to do so. They want to feel safe and respected and valued and loved, and this is a way to do that. So I respect you and I love you. And ladies, this is my message to you, to everyone. You don't have to be sweet. You don't have to be pretty or attractive. Beauty ideals are subjective and fluctuate anyway. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be quiet. You don't have to be a career woman. You don't have to be a stay-at-home mom. You don't have to be a wife or a mother. You don't have to be single or a nomad. You don't have to burn your bra, bash men, shun makeup, or insist on opening all of your doors to be a feminist and support equal rights and opportunities for females. You get to be whoever and whatever the hell you want to be, whenever you want to be it. Sure, there are consequences for these decisions. You'll surely get blowback from the world as it tries to define you and mold you and label you and restrict you and fit you into a box, all to make it, not you, more comfortable. But please don't let the world bully and trick you into thinking it's the boss of you. It's not. May you lead and live with love, celebrating and uplifting others along the way, no matter their gender, color, orientation, etc. Women of the world, whether or not you were born that way, I see you. I love you. Thank you for being here.